To each of you, the time has come that we will begin. Our opening song will be number 237. Number 237. Please stand as we sing. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again this day, it is in with thankful hearts that we have the opportunity to meet and to worship Thee and to hear Thy Word, to fellowship one with another. We're thankful, Father. We ask, Father, Thy blessing upon this hour as we wait before Thee. We pray Thy blessing upon the one that will be administered to, and that she will receive a blessing of Thy hand. I ask, Father, for our brother as he would speak to us this night, that Your Spirit might attend him and help his thoughts and his words, that they might come forth as Thou would will, and that we might understand them, help improve our life and our walk before Thee. I pray for those that are less fortunate than we are, that have not the sufficient things of life. We pray, Father, for those that are not attending here with us this night, for whatever reason, that Thy blessing would be upon them. We ask that You would strengthen each of Thy children wherever they be found at this time. In this we pray and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read the announcements at this time. Our second song this evening will be number 279. Number 279. Again, where we stand.
Thank you.
I'd ask at this time for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother as he would speak to us, because I know he spent the time and the effort and the prayer to prepare some message to bring to us this evening. So I do ask for your careful attention for him, our brother Ken. Yeah.
Seemed like this week there was a series of small events that happened that shaped my thinking for this sermon. Had occasion to be up early this week, and I was listening to the radio, and two different mornings this preacher mentioned a couple scriptures that caught my interest. And then yesterday, as we went to that memorial service for Don Willard, some of the things that were said there drew my thoughts in a certain direction. And at first I was thinking, well, they're really two different sermons. But then as I was thinking about it and trying to prepare myself, I guess I suddenly saw that they fit together. Scripture that came to my mind after this wasn't one of the scriptures that I heard, but one that came to my mind, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I guess tonight I'd like to speak about ourselves and also the church as a whole. It's kind of two different thoughts that we're going to pursue this evening. But in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And one of the things I've been thinking about this past week or two, and the things that I heard this last week sort of gelled the thoughts in my mind, is what is important in this life? Is it wealth? Is that what's important? Is it fame? Is it our possessions? What manner of man or woman must we be? I'd like you to kind of think about that. We're not going to answer that right now, but I'd like you to consider that as we go through some of these other scriptures. What manner of man or woman must we be? In Psalms 95, I'm going to read the 3rd through the 6th verse of the 95th Psalm. And as we read these scriptures, I'd like us to think what the Lord is telling us. In the 3rd verse it says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. In His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." You know, God is great. And He's King above all. All is His. There's nothing that is ours. It's all God's. He formed it. He controls His creation. We're commanded to bow and to worship Him. Continuing in Psalms in the 97th chapter, I'm going to read the 1st verse and I'm going to skip down to the 9th and the 10th. It says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked." The Lord reigns, and for that, we should be glad. He's high above all else. When we love God, we're to hate evil. There's a promise, as always, to those that love God, that He will preserve their souls. Let's turn to Isaiah in the 55th chapter. And I'm really not going to have a lot of comment tonight about these scriptures. But as we read them, I'd like us to think of what they're saying to us. Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to skip through the whole chapter. I'm going to read the first couple verses and then skip down a little bit. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." The Lord asks us, why do we spend our time and our energy for those things that really are not important? Those things that are of no worth. But the Lord does say, hearken diligently unto Him. In the third verse, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If we listen to Him, our soul shall live. That's the important thing. That's the important thing in life, that our soul shall live. Skipping down to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord is reminding us that His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. That His ways are certainly not our ways. You know, the Lord is perfect. He knows everything. But we stray. We fall. We struggle. We're just not perfect. In the 10th verse, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Whatever God says, He's going to accomplish. You know, we read in Peter that judgment will begin with us. But there's much that God has said that He will do. There's some things that God is going to do. He's going to accomplish all that He said. In these next scriptures, you may think I'm straying from the subject. But I want you to keep in mind what manner of man or woman, young person, that we must be. Acts chapter 1. First chapter of Acts, I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. And when he, speaking of the Lord, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Christ will return. That's a fact. He will return. In the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, in the 12th chapter, it's on page 158. Some more things that the Lord said he will accomplish. I'm going to read the 73rd verse first. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home into the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. Skipping down to verse 79. And now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. For after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles, and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written. And they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are a descendant of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Jews, which are scattered, also shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. The house of Israel is going to be gathered to the lands of their inheritance. The remnant upon this land will know who they are, will come to a knowledge of their forefathers, and they will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's going to be accomplished. For God's word will not return unto him void. Page 34, 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 151. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord that was upon the Gentiles, that they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful like unto my people before they were slain. Gentiles are upon this land. It says it will become a land of their inheritance. But we read in other places it's only through our belief in the gospel of Christ and our adoption. Only to those who are righteous is this the land of inheritance. Only to those Gentiles who are righteous. Page 72. First Nephi chapter 6, verse 52. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. That standard, I believe, is the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the Word of God. It's going to be held up to the seed of Jacob. Across the page in the 7th chapter, in the 13th verse, nevertheless, after that they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord has lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard. Sounds like the Gentiles. With the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that we're going to be a standard, an example, something that the house of Israel will look to. And their children shall be carried in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal, for thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. His word shall not return unto him void. He will accomplish what he has set his hand to do. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi in the 9th chapter. That's page 658. 49th and 50th verses. And then shall the remnant, which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, be gathered in from the east and from the west and from the south and from the north, and they shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who has redeemed them. And the Father has commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance. This land is an inheritance for the seed of Joseph. They shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who has redeemed them. Who is going to do that? Brother Don and Jay are taking it to the descendants of Joseph who live in Mexico. There are many tribes upon the face of the land who are descendants of the house of Israel. This church of Christ is the vehicle in which God is going to accomplish His work. This is the land of their inheritance, the seed of Joseph. For they're the ones that Christ appeared to. These are His words. They're going to be brought to the knowledge of Christ, and they're going to be gathered in to their land of inheritance. Continuing in the 9th chapter, verse 99. Jesus continues to speak to His disciples. He said, "And my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles. Yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep. Woe, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver." The seed of Jacob is in our midst. And because, well, there's a scripture that says that those who possess this land must serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ. Or when they're ripened in iniquity, they shall be swept off. That's found in Ether. The Gentiles become ripened in iniquity. The seed of Jacob, which is in our midst, will go through us and tear us to pieces. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off thy cities out of the land, and throw down thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. And thy graven images I will cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lying and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, at that day, whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel. And I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Sounds like only the righteous will be spared, or those that desire righteousness. All of these things, there's many more, I just picked a few. All these things will be accomplished before the Lord brings this time to a close. We are His instruments to accomplish that task. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of the things that God has for us to do. Well, it may not be in our time schedule. And we may think, well, it's going to happen next year, or 6 months from now, or 10 years from now, or things have always been the same. Things haven't changed, so God's no closer, the Lord's no closer to returning than He was 100 years ago. But He is. He is. So it may not be in our time schedule, it may be inconvenient for us. Or it may not be done the way we think it should be done. But it will be done in the Lord's way and in the Lord's time. But we may not be fully aware of what is to be done. So we need to be aware of the work that needs to be done, what the Lord has to accomplish in these latter days before He will return. It's all going to be accomplished. It'll all be done. So now you may think, well, what's this got to do with what manner of man or woman I am? It has little to do with what God will do in these latter days. Or does it? I think it has everything to do with it. First of all, we're going to be the ones that are doing His work. So we need to be a people desiring to be righteous, to be part of that work. In whatever way the Lord would desire us to be part of it, there's many things to be done. We need to help accomplish the work that the Lord has. Secondly, the judgment's going to begin with us. If the righteous scarcely be saved, perhaps that's all we need to say. If it's going to begin at us, then what manner of man or woman we are is very important. And thirdly, the Scripture puts us in the time that all this will be finished. Many, in the sound of my voice, I believe, will witness the end of it. The Lord accomplishing all His work and His return. There's much to be done between now and then. It's a time to be thinking of what manner of man or woman that we must be. It's Bill and Jay, yesterday, we're speaking at the memorial service. They're simple and honest words about a man who left as much. Touched my heart. You know, he didn't leave much of the treasures of this world. You know, he wasn't rich. The things that he left were of the inner man. You know, I don't remember everything that was said. I really don't. But they spoke of honesty, integrity, compassion, hospitality, the work ethic, faith, humility, love of God and love of family. These are the things. These are the things that make a man or a woman. All else, everything else we accomplish will fade away. But the true mark of a man or a woman, a young person, it's never too young to start being a righteous man, a righteous woman. But the true things of a man, the true mark of a man are the things of the heart. Our beliefs, our values, what we stand for. They all contribute to what we are. Our character is all the things that we are. That's what makes our character. Our values and our beliefs, our honesty and our integrity, all these things make up our character. And it matters. It matters. But other things really don't matter. And that's not to say that we can't have the other things. But the true mark of a man or a woman lies within the heart. What manner of man or woman should we be? One that strives for the values of God, for His righteousness. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. Our closing song this evening will be number 273. I would remind you again that there are cards up here that need to be signed. Number 273. Would you stand, please? Father, as we come to the close of this service and of this Sabbath day, we're indeed thankful for the time we've been able to spend here in thy house this day. We're thankful, Father, for the words we've heard, and we pray that you'd help us to be the kind of men and women and people that you'd have us to be, and that you would give us the strength to accomplish those things which you've set before us. I pray for each one of us this week that we might be able to go about our lives in a manner that would be pleasing unto thee. I do pray that you would dismiss us and continue with us until we have opportunity to come again. And we give you the thanks and the honor and the glory in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.